to Securing America with me, Frank Gaffney, the program that's a kind of owner's manual for protecting the country we love against all enemies, foreign and domestic, to God's glory and that of his kingdom. We have enemies domestic, it turns out. We've been discouraged from understanding that or thinking about it, certainly talking about it, ever since Joseph McCarthy was pilloried for having wrongly defamed communists in the United States government. That actually was true. He had them dead to rights. But in one of the great information and influence operations of all time, the Soviet Union, the enemy that was running those agents within the United States, successfully transformed Joseph McCarthy, Senator McCarthy, from the Patriot to one of the most vilified men in history. And even today, it is one of the most, well, successful means of suppressing people, to call them McCarthyites or engaging in McCarthyism, simply because they're pointing out what should be perfectly obvious in our time, too. I'm very pleased to have with us a man who, despite all of that, has come to us from New Zealand originally and has, for decades now, been warning about what he has seen happen in his own country and what he has documented, as I think nobody else has, is happening in ours. His name is Trevor Loudon. We're going to spend a full hour in this program talking with one of the most exemplary manifestations of what I consider to be a very, very needed corrective to a lot of what's wrong with our country, namely the insights of a foreign-born American patriot. Trevor Loudon is a filmmaker, an author, a public speaker. He is tireless in championing the exemplary, the indeed exemplary, not just exemplary, but the extraordinary quality of our country. And he has taken on as a life's work, pointing out and making book on those who seek to take down the United States of America. Literally, making book in the form of Enemies Within, and more recently, a film of that name, as well as a film entitled Enemies Within the Church. We're going to be talking with him about all of that and much more in the course of this hour. Let me just say, Trevor, I appreciate you so much and welcome you to Securing America once again. And thank you for giving us the chance to do a really deep dive on your research, your conclusions, and what we need to do about them both. Welcome back, sir.
Well, thank you so much, Frank. It's always great to be on, and thanks for the very kind introduction. I appreciate it.
Well, it's all true in my estimation. Let me ask you first and foremost, we're watching, as we speak, a drama play out in which the government of the United States, specifically its national security and justice agencies, are being weaponized against Americans. And it seems not against Americans that you've been warning about, that is to say, Marxists, communists, those who seek to take down our country, no kidding, but other American patriots like yourself, but born here, like Steve Bannon and Peter Navarro, and perhaps even Donald Trump himself, if they have their way. Are we being reduced, based on your insights into not only what's happening here, and for that matter in New Zealand, but worldwide, of having our country transformed, fundamentally transformed, to use Barack Obama's expression, into a banana republic, perhaps en route to some kind of Marxist, even totalitarian state?
Yeah, well, what's happening now with the January the 6th investigations is very reminiscent of the kind of things that happened in Czechoslovakia after World War II, when the Communist Party became part of the government They took over the security apparatus, they took over the judiciary, and they started to go after their enemies. And after 3 years, there was no opposition left, and it became the only Eastern Bloc country that became communist without, you know, without the force of Soviet troops. And so this is really the model that we're doing right now. Now, look at the January 6th committee, and the chairman of the Homeland Security Committee who's running this, Benny Thompson. Now, he used to hang around with the Communist Workers' Party. He used to hang around with the Republic of New Africa, which was known to shoot policemen. He was involved in several Communist Party USA fronts. But the kicker was in 2000.
And in addition to being the chairman of the January 6th effort, he's the chairman of the Homeland Security Committee in the House of Representatives. My Lord.
He should be the subject of an intensive Homeland Security Department investigation. But look, the kicker was in 2000. He went with Greg Meeks and Jim Clyburn, the number third ranked Democrat in the House, to visit Fidel Castro in Cuba. And Thompson arranged with Castro scholarships for Americans from underserved communities to have free medical training in Cuba. Over 150 of them have done this so far, many of them the sons and daughters of American Communist Party members. So the head of Homeland Security worked with one of America's major enemies to train about 150 young Americans to basically indoctrinate them in Cuban socialism, and now they're serving in communities all over the country. You know,
Jim Clyburn, by the way, I just have to note, is the man widely credited with having assured Joe Biden the nomination of the Democratic Party to become president of the United States. Had it not been for him, the alternative may well have been Bernie Sanders, avowed Marxist, I think it's fair to say, certainly a socialist, democratic socialist. And he would have been repudiated at the polls, almost certainly, no?
Well, that's right. You know, we've just seen a very similar situation in Britain where Jeremy Corbyn, an actual Marxist with Czechoslovakian communist ties, the son of Communist Party members, was the leader of the Labour Party, and they were trounced.
Yes, they
and
were.
They could see that if Bernie Sanders, who is a Marxist, a full-on communist, worked with the Communist Party for years.
Honeymooned in Russia, when it was the Soviet Union.
Went to Nicaragua, worked with basically Marxists his entire career. They could see that he was going to bring the Democratic Party down. So Clyburn, you know, the only option they had at the time was Joe Biden. So Clyburn, yes, who has his own radical background, got Joe Biden the job to stop Bernie Sanders.
Has his own radical background too, and we'll come to that in a moment. Trevor, the overview that I wanted you to give us is that we are finding in senior positions in our government people who are deeply sympathetic to revolutionary movements, and they are, perhaps like Czechoslovakia, perhaps like, you know, others that have been overthrown along the trail, engaged in the prosecution, I would argue the persecution, of political adversaries using the instruments of the state. That's a pretty momentous development in our constitutional republic, is it not?
That's unheard of. You know, this is, the people running the Democratic Party now are the 60s and 70s generation. These are the people who supported North Vietnam during the Vietnam War. They supported the Sandinistas, the Nicaraguan Sandinistas.
Trevor, I want you to hold this thought. We're going to come back to much, much more of it with Trevor Loudon on the other side of a very short break. Stay tuned. This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. A new McLaughlin poll commissioned by our Committee on the Present Danger of China has several impressive and potentially politically consequential findings. First, 60% of those sampled agreed that the Chinese Communist Party deliberately unleashed the COVID-19 virus on the world. Second, 60% also agreed that the CCP should be held accountable for the deaths of roughly 1 million Americans, the immense economic damage, and the loss of personal freedoms caused by the pandemic. And third, roughly 70% said they or their family had been negatively affected by the pandemic. What makes these data remarkable and actionable is that for the better part of 3 years, virtually every media and governmental instrument available has relentlessly disinformed, discouraged, and outright canceled such sentiments. Finally, 76% said that a candidate's position on China would be important or a consideration in their vote. This is Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. We're visiting for this full hour, I'm very pleased to say, with a great friend, a very highly regarded colleague, and a foreign-born American patriot by the name of Trevor Loudon. He is responsible, I believe, for probably the most rigorous, documented, and insightful research into enemies within our country. And Trevor, I hated to interrupt you, but I had to break for a hard stop. But pick up where you were going, if you would, on kind of the Marxist proclivities, yes, but also program that we were witnessing senior U.S. government officials championing and putting into place.
Well, as I say, I've said many times, Frank, if you look at the Congress and the Senate, you've got 100 members of the House who couldn't pass a background check of any kind. They're controlling every major committee in the House, from armed services to education to just judiciary. You know, the head of
intelligence.
You know, the head of the Judiciary Committee, Jerry Nadler, has been a card-carrying member of Democratic Socialists of America. This is the same group that Ocasio-Cortez and Rashida Tlaib belong to. But he's the top lawman in the country.
Bernie Sanders. And so, you know, democratic socialism, we're encouraged to believe, is not even socialism, let alone Marxism or communism. Yet your research indicates it's all of a piece. Is that right?
Look, Democratic Socialist America is completely Marxist. They have Communist Party members within their ranks, people from the League of Revolutionaries for a New America, that they have affiliated with the Sao Paulo Forum, which was set up by Brazil's Marxist president and Fidel Castro to spread communism through Latin America. Democratic Socialism,
which it has done handsomely,
from Mexico to Argentina, the whole continent, with the exception of Brazil, which faces an election this year, is now under the control of the left because of the Sao Paulo Forum, which Democratic Socialists of America is affiliated to.
Yeah, and they and have, it seems as though odds on that the left will get Brazil back with Lula returning to power.
That's the way it's looking. I hope and pray that's not the case.
But I do too.
Lula, the Marxist, is favored to win, and they've done a great character assassination job on Bolsonaro. Yes. The conservative president, very similar to what they did on Trump.
Mm-hmm. And same playbook.
And the U.S. Senate is in the same position. And virtually every member of Biden's cabinet has a Marxist or pro-communist China background.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Let me just say, in that regard, Trevor, you and our colleague Sam Faddis have done a magnificent public service at the Accountability Initiative, and you can find it, folks, at accountabilityinitiative.org, where there are over 20, I believe, dossiers on these cabinet and sub-cabinet level appointees and a few members of Congress as well, documenting really, I think, persuasively that these are compromised people, compromised by a variety of you know, malevolent forces, but typically the Chinese Communist Party, no?
Well, I think one of the most egregious examples that nobody's talking about. Now, the big problem we have right now is energy. You know, we've got an energy war going on in the world. We've got Vladimir Putin attacking Ukraine. And the only thing that Biden could really do to stop him would be to open the energy spigots in the United States, drop the price of gas here, supply Europe with American energy, and cause put Putin into bankruptcy by dropping the world price. But Biden won't do that. The first thing he did when he got into office was to close the access pipeline from Canada because of protests that were organized by Judith LeBlanc of the Communist Party USA, which supports both Putin's Russia and Communist China. Judith LeBlanc then engineered to get her very close personal friend and fellow Marxist, Deb Haaland, put in as Secretary of the Interior of the United States in Biden's cabinet. This woman is a Marxist, put there by the Communist Party USA, and she's closing every energy lease you could imagine.
On federal lands, which she has under her responsibility.
And the other key thing to remember, too, is we're facing nuclear war right now, and most of the uranium mining in this country is done on Indian land, which is under the purview of Deb Haaland. So we have got
a Native American, by the way, who has been Native American, radicalized in that role.
Second-term congresswoman from New Mexico, who nobody had ever heard of. But Judith LeBlanc mounted a big campaign, Deb for the Interior. She got Gloria Steinem on board and Sarah Silverman and Mark Ruffalo and all these, Cher and Hanoi Jane Fonda, and they mounted a big campaign, Deb for the Interior. Biden nominated her, and four Republicans voted with the Democrats to confirm her. And that woman is a Marxist-Leninist in charge of America's uranium and drilling on public lands, right when we need those resources.
You've raised the larger problem, of course, which is not just the cabinet and sub-cabinet level. It's the president of the United States himself.
Exactly.
Talk a bit about his compromise and what we've learned about it in the space of the past year and a half, most especially.
Well, I think this is the... We have learned extensively of Biden and Hunter Biden's ties to the communist Chinese, of money coming into the Biden family empire from China, of Hunter Biden, you know, getting a whole lot of money for doing virtually nothing. And we know that Joe Biden signed on to this and cooperated with Hunter in this. But the other thing we need to understand, in 1972, Joe Biden was elected and put in, he was a 29-year-old city councilor in Wilmington, Delaware, in a Republican state, who beat a four-term Republican senator with an 80% approval rating because he had the backing of a nationwide organization called the Council for a Livable World. Now, he was actually picked for the job by a man called
John Isaacs.
Al Gore Sr., a corrupt senator from Tennessee, who was a protege of Armand Hammer, the leading American Soviet agent of the 20th century. And the Council for a Livable World was actually established by Leo Szilard, a nuclear physicist, identified by a top KGB officer as a fully recruited Soviet intelligence agent.
Wow.
And the whole mission of the Council for a Livable World was to elect left-wing senators who would gut the U.S. military, who would negotiate horrible treaties with the Soviet Union, cancel weapons systems, all of this, weaken the military to the advantage of our enemies.
Yeah.
And what's Joe Biden done
since
he's been in power?
Exactly that, of course. And it's ongoing. And Trevor, we have to take a short break, and we're going to come back to this topic, particularly the extent to which Joe Biden, both as a United States senator over decades and now as president of the United States, has been executing aggressively, among other aspects of what I call his wrecking operation, the dismantling of the United States military. Like the other aspects of this, as we'll talk about with the great Trevor Loudon momentarily, the two things that I believe all aspects of Joe Biden's policies, domestic and foreign, from the XL pipeline in the energy sector, the appointments he's made, and notably the purging of our military personnel and demoralizing of those that stay, is detrimental to the United States, point one, and beneficial to our enemies, most especially the Chinese Communist Party. That and much more with Trevor Loudon on the other side of this short commercial message. We'll be right back.
Night in cities across the country, black-garbed assailants clash with police in the streets, smash windows, and throw Molotov cocktails in an effort to destroy police stations, federal courthouses, and local businesses, all in the name of anti-fascism. Most Americans are now, sadly, all too aware of the movement known as Antifa. But where did they come from? What do they want? And how do we stop their campaign of violent mayhem? The Center for Security Policy Press is proud to present Unmasking Antifa, Five Perspectives on a Growing Threat. This new book looks at the history, ideology, organization, finances, and strategy of Antifa, and provides an in-depth analysis for law enforcement officers, policymakers, and the general public. From street fighting tactics of the Black Bloc to fundraising by prominent left-wing foundations, Unmasking Antifa is the go-to guide to understand this elusive and dangerous threat. Get your copy of Unmasking Antifa, Five Perspectives on a Growing Threat at Amazon.com.
Back. We're visiting with the great Trevor Loudon, a eminence now, I think, in the public policy arena in the United States, his adopted country. He hails originally from New Zealand, he's fond of saying. He has a bit of a southern accent, a very southern accent. New Zealand, a country that he left as it became clear it was being hopelessly subverted and lost, in fact, to the radical left. And he set his sights on trying to make sure that didn't happen to the last best hope of mankind, namely the United States of America, for which we are eternally grateful. Trevor is the author and filmmaker of Enemies Within, and more recently, Enemies Within the Church, two really remarkable documentary films in particular worth checking out on any streaming platform you can. Trevor, I hated to interrupt you, but you were talking about Joe Biden's background and his support from, well, I would call the Marxists of the Council for a Livable World, who were set on achieving decades ago what was then the priority of the Soviet Union, the totalitarian communist regime that sought our destruction in that time. What he's doing today to the U.S. military as commander-in-chief of our armed forces, I think surpasses anything that has been done to date by disarmament treaties or, you know, leftist demonstrators or others, including Senator Fulbright, for that matter. Namely, the demoralization, the brainwashing, the alienation, the forced purge from the military for ideological reasons, people who don't measure up to the Biden critical race theory program and agenda, and not least now vaccine mandates. Give us your appreciation based on your research and analysis of what is actually going on here and its implications for our national security.
Well, we all remember the famous Obama statement with Dmitry Medvedev, the Russian president. You know, when I get re-elected, I'll have more flexibility. Mm-hmm. He was talking to his boss. You know, Obama has had an extensive...
Ultimately, life. Vladimir Putin, who he actually said, please convey that message to, right?
To Vladimir, yes. Well, look, Obama purged about 190, I believe it was, good generals, admirals, etc., from the military. So he took the top out. So now Biden's and replaced them with Harvard, with Princeton sociology graduates and, you know, political generals.
Woke military officers.
Yeah. And wokeism is Marxism. We shouldn't beat around the bush. And so now Biden is doing a number on the lower ranks. He is purging the, you know, because the bedrock of the U.S. military are Southern Christians. That's the bedrock. You know,
patriots.
The patriots. The patriots, as patriotic as red, white, and blue as you can get, they are persona non grata now. Mm. They've been driven out with vaccine mandates, with the absolute contempt for Christianity that's now exhibited in the military.
It's not just contempt, really, Trevor, isn't it? Actual hostility. It seems it's gone beyond disdain. And not least, of course, this whole idea that this is a country that is not worth serving because it's systemically racist and, you know, oppresses blacks and all the rest of this critical race theory.
They're bringing in this critical race theory into the military. And critical race theory was invented by people like, Derek Bell, and Obama's mentor, by the way, at Harvard. A Marxist, a member, an affiliate of the Soviet Front, International Association of Democratic Lawyers, mm-hmm. an affiliate of Freedom Ways, a magazine set up by the Chinese Communist Party and funded by the Soviet Communist Party. This is where critical race theory comes from. Mm-hmm. It's Marxist to the core. Now it's all through the military. So who are we going to get in the military? We're going to get a lot of woke young people. Are we going to get a lot of illegal immigrants? And we were losing the backbone of our military. Now, before World War II, Stalin, in his paranoia, purged the Red Army of thousands of great officers. So when Hitler invaded the Soviet Union, the Red Army almost collapsed. They almost lost their country. And so we're in a similar situation right now. Our military is being gutted. It's being feminized. The Russians and Chinese are on a World War III footing right now, and the U.S. military is getting ready for mascara.
Yeah,
that's where we're at.
Cross-dressing, transgender, surgery, the whole program. But I think your really critical point here, Trevor, and I don't think it's been made nearly enough, is it's bad enough that the population, shall we say, that we have historically relied upon for the defense of our country is being purged, certainly alienated and not willing to serve, therefore not showing up at recruiting centers if they even were welcome. But they're being replaced to some extent. I'm not sure it's on a one-for-one basis, but they're being replaced by people who are with this program. And I guess going back to what we started with at the beginning, Trevor, does this, in your, again, historical perspective, as well as, well, common sense approach to all of this, suggest that not only are we unlikely to be prepared for military onslaughts that now are in the offing, but that the military itself, like the Department of Justice, like the FBI, like the intelligence community, like the State Department, and other agencies, Homeland Security for that matter, will be weaponized against American patriots and others who, you know, seek to preserve our constitutional republic as well.
Look, I absolutely think that's the case, you know. I think 40 years ago, the thought of American military firing on American civilians would have been unthinkable. Mm. I don't think it's quite so unthinkable now. Mm. Look, but you remember when General Milley said that he would, if Trump was getting aggressive with China, that he would give the Chinese a heads up, that he would warn them. Well, what do you think would have happened if Ronald Reagan's chief of staff said, I'm going to give the Russians a heads up if Reagan gets too aggressive with the Russians? How long do you think he would have lasted in office?
Yeah, I think he would have been court-martialed, in fact, for what that is, which would be treasonous activity.
Yeah, Milley should have absolutely been court-martialed for that.
Yeah, I
agree. But this is the state of the U.S. military. We've always had this backstop. We've thought, well, if things get bad, at least we've got the military. At least we've got the church. At least we've got the military. No, we don't have either of those two institutions now.
Yeah. Well, and I think this is really the critical point. Yeah, we're going to come to the church in a moment, Trevor. I want to talk about your findings and your extraordinary new film, The Enemies Within the Church. But before we go there, you know, I think this is the point, isn't it? And this is what, again, enemies within trained Marxists, BLM comes to mind, the leaders of which have said they are trained Marxists, understand the importance we'll talk about that too, but their purpose is to assault the institutions of our country, not only to capture our elites, and I want to visit with you a bit about more about that, but to really go after the pillars of what makes America the formidable, you know, restraint on the agenda of enemies like the Chinese and the Russians and so on. No, it's all about taking down institutions, whether it's the church, whether it's the military, whether it's business, whether it's academia, whether it's the media, whether it's, you know, political figures. This is the object. It's not just incidental to what they're doing. No.
No, this is a very concerted process. We are in a revolution that's been playing out since World War II or even before that, but now it's coming to its climax. Mm. Now it's either going to envelop this country or we're going to throw it off, one of the two.
Yeah.
But
And you would characterize it as a Marxist revolution?
Look, absolutely, this is a Marxist revolution. Mm. Well, you look at the attack on the police over the last few years by BLM and others. BLM is a pro-Chinese communist operation. They have got police in this country terrified of enforcing the laws on the books in case they get sued, fired, or jailed. We've just seen Derek Chauvin go to jail for, 20 years? You know, up in Minneapolis. So, you know, they started with the police in the 70s, and the police used to have intelligence squads. The police used to be able to monitor radicals, communists, terrorists in their own areas. That was all abolished in the 70s by the left.
Yeah.
So the police have been blind. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. The Church Committee. Frank Church was a radical, you know, a very radical man from Stanford University, senator from Idaho, gutted the U.S. intelligence agencies, and he gutted the police intelligence agencies.
Trevor,
so blind.
I want to ask you to hold for a second. We've got to take one more break. We have an alternative enemy within that is now incessantly being touted by the intelligence agencies, by the other security agencies, the FBI and so on, as the real problem, the greatest threat we're facing, namely white supremacists and other domestic terrorists associated with them. We're going to drill down on that proposition with Trevor Loudon right after this.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. A new McLaughlin poll commissioned by our Committee on the Present Danger China has several impressive and potentially politically consequential findings. First, 60% of those sampled agreed that the Chinese Communist Party deliberately unleashed the COVID-19 virus on the world. Second, 60% also agreed that the CCP should be held accountable for the deaths of roughly 1 million Americans, the immense economic damage, and the loss of personal freedoms caused by the pandemic. And third, roughly 70% said they or their family had been negatively affected by the pandemic. What makes these data remarkable and actionable is that for the better part of 3 years, virtually every media and governmental instrument available has relentlessly disinformed, discouraged, and outright canceled such sentiments. Finally, 76% said that a candidate's position on China would be important or a consideration in their vote. This is Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. We're having a fascinating and, well, deeply distressing conversation with one of the smartest guys I know, certainly about the topics at hand, namely the phenomenon of domestic enemies of our country, who they are, where they have now gotten to in terms of positions of influence and power, and what their agenda is. We've talked to this point primarily about what I consider to be, and I think our guest does, the real threat from enemies within, namely Marxists. We'll, before we're done, hopefully talk about some others, but I do want to draw you out, Trevor Loudon, as a result of the research you've been doing for decades, your books, The Enemy Within, Enemy Within the Church, about what we are insistently told by the Biden team, the Department of Justice, the White House, the FBI, the intelligence community, is the real threat to our republic in terms of enemies within. And that's people, well, I guess like us, who are being defamed as white supremacist, white nationalist, Christian nationalists, and domestic terrorists in some cases. What are we to make of this? Do you think there's any truth to it at all? Or is this just part of the Marxist playbook?
Well, it's an interesting thing here. If you look at the genuine sort of white supremacists in this country, like Richard Spencer and David Duke and Matt Heimbach, they all have one thing in common. They're all pro-Russia. They support Vladimir Putin and Alexander Dugin, the inventor of one of the key figures of what they call national Bolshevism, this combination of Nazism and communism. And you'll find a lot of the mass shooters in this country are national Bolsheviks. You'll find the guy, the Australian who shot up the mosque in New Zealand a few years ago, was a national Bolshevik. He was pro-Russia and pro-China, but he got labeled as a Trump supporter. And he explicitly said in his manifesto how much he hated Trump. So
Don't bother me with the facts, I think, is the general response here.
In New Zealand, his manifesto has been classified as an indecent publication. You get 10 years jail for possessing it because they don't want anybody to read it. Okay?
Don't let that kind of fact-based information out. But Trevor, just to this point, you're hearing that kind of suppression of information. Even known individuals identified as problematic by the FBI or by law enforcement have not been treated as such. Lone wolves, some of them are called, after they then go, violent. But we do have this incessant drumbeat. The January 6th committee is promoting it endlessly, that it's really domestic terrorists of a right-wing stripe, white oftentimes. And is there any basis for that? I mean, the names that you've mentioned, yes, there are white supremacists in our country, to be sure. I'm not suggesting otherwise. But those are about as irrelevant a group of people as I can imagine. And what about the Proud Boys? What about, these other gangs who were credited with mounting this insurrection and overthrowing the government of the United States?
Well, you'd be happy to know the Proud Boys have been designated as a terrorist organization by the New Zealand government. Mm. This is the thing. This genuine pro-Russian sort of semi-Nazi element has been used to tar conservatives in general. Now, remember the Charlottesville disaster a few years ago, with, the Proud Boys, the so-called right were fighting the left on the streets.
Neo-Nazis.
That was pro-Russian neo-Nazis battling on the streets with pro-Russian communists from the Party of Socialism and Liberation, Communist Party USA, etc., all pro-Russian. You had two pro-Russian factions fighting on the streets. And who got the blame for it all? Republicans, conservatives, Christians, and President Trump. This pro-Russian minuscule movement has been used to tar the entire conservative movement in the country.
Yeah.
This is the whole purpose of
it. Is this an accident or is this by design? Is this part of, again, the tradecraft of the Marxists?
This is absolute deliberate strategy. But back in the Cold War, the KGB used to go into West Germany and paint swastikas on Jewish graves. The Soviet KGB did it. And then talk about the rise of the Nazi right in Germany and how that was being tolerated by the conservatives. This is the same playbook all over again. You have a few genuine Russian, pro-Russian white supremacists, and you use them to tar the whole conservative movement and paint the whole movement as dangerous and treasonous. You know, Black Lives Matter, a Chinese operation, burnt cities, caused billions of dollars of damage, and not one of their leaders went to jail. A few naive people were led into a trap in the Capitol, took some selfies, provocateurs committed violence, and now some of these people are serving long jail sentences in solitary confinement, and their movement's been used to tar all of us.
Some are simply in jail. They're not serving sentences. They're just incarcerated indefinitely. Trevor, as an expert in these matters, is it your professional judgment that what you just described constitutes direct action against our republic and seemingly some complicity on the part of leaders in Congress who did not adequately secure the Capitol?
Oh, look, I think the whole January the 6th thing was a trap that was set and some naive
but,
people.
But I'm asking, but set by whom?
Oh, set by... Well, set by the FBI, set by the government. Mm. I absolutely think it was done.
Hence, no National Guard. Hence, reduced security at the Capitol. Hence, people being ushered in and being led to believe that there was no wrongdoing involved. This is such an important point, Trevor, and I'm sorry we have to take one last break before we conclude this really important interview, but I'm so glad you have said that as forthrightly as you usually do, because I certainly believe that, and I think the evidence is increasingly showing, despite the concerted efforts of this January 6th committee to conceal that truth. We're going to come back with a final segment with Trevor Loudon. We're going to talk about enemies within the church and what that implies as well, right after this. Welcome back. We're going to conclude our interview with Trevor Loudon, a man who I hope you agree has impressive understanding and documentation of the phenomenon of the real enemy within our country. I want to drill down in this concluding segment with you, Trevor, about the institution of the church in our country. And that's not any particular sect of the church. The Christian church, I think, is sufficient for this purpose. But before we do, I want to talk about another faith community. And we haven't visited about this in some time, but I know it's been of concern to you, as it has for me. And that is within the Muslim community. And let me just say up front, this is not a problem with all Muslims, but it is a problem with a significant portion of that community, thanks to the work of another totalitarian organization, the Muslim Brotherhood, which has been recruiting and building institutions for dominating the Muslim population, particularly in our country. It has an agenda, it seems, very like that of the Marxists, the communists in our country, albeit they have a different end state, a caliphate instead of a workers' paradise. But talk briefly, if you would, and we don't have a lot of time, Trevor, about the Brotherhood's actions and activities as another element of the enemy within the United States.
Well, what I've noticed here is the extensive overlap between the Muslim Brotherhood operations here and the increasing tie-up with the left. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, Nihad Awad, you know, one of the head of CAIR, one of the top Muslim Brotherhood
Council on American Islamic Relations. Right. Very big Brotherhood.
Well, he was the leader of the General Union of Palestinian Students before that, which was affiliated to the World Federation of Democratic Youth. That was a Soviet operation. He was a communist before he was a Muslim Brotherhood leader. And when the communist or Soviet Union collapsed, they moved towards, you know, the more to Hamas and people like that for support. Mm-hmm. But in this country, we're
finding the Saudis at the time, among the others, Saudis, the Qataris, well, yeah, right?
Exactly. Now it's more the Turks. Right. The Turks are the big leaders now. So what you're seeing in this country is a huge interaction between the radical Islamic elements and Democratic Socialists for America, Party for Socialism and Liberation, Workers' World Party. They're cooperating because they have a common enemy. They might differ.
The red-green axis, we've dubbed this. Yeah.
They differ.
And it's a united front sort of concept, I think, isn't it, to have these disparate elements join forces for the common purpose of taking down the common enemy, namely the United States of America.
Well, exactly. Nihad Awad called for an alliance between CAIR and Black Lives Matter, you know, a Chinese communist operation. So the enemy, the common enemy, is the United States. They'll fight. They might fight themselves over our corpses, but right now they're united. They see the United States as weak, and this is a chance to finally bring this country to its knees. And they're working hell for leather together to achieve that.
Yeah. I think we can stipulate they will be at each other's throats once we're gone. My money's on the Chinese communists rather than the Islamists, or for that matter, the global resetting capitalist types. But let me turn in the remaining 3 minutes or so we have with you, Trevor. Talk about your research on the enemies that have penetrated and are subverting one of the most important institutions in our country, namely the church.
And I'll stipulate, as you said, Frank, this covers almost every denomination. Mm-hmm. Every denomination is penetrated now. You know, in the old, a new movie, Enemies Within the Church, two-hour documentary, just full of whistleblowers and hard evidence.
Terrific film.
It's the history of the communist infiltration of the churches starting in the 1920s. The first communist front in America was the Methodist Federation for Social Action. But we bring it right to now, the woke church movement, which is conquering the Southern Baptists, which is conquering the evangelical churches, turning them rapidly to the left, is a Marxist-directed movement. But you know, it is absolutely making a huge impact. And even if you don't go to church, don't care about the church, we need to understand, you know, politics is downstream from culture. You know, if your culture goes left, your politics will go left. But culture is downstream from religion. If your religion goes left, your culture accelerates to the left and your politics yeah. will implode.
And Trevor, just a quick word, and we're going to run out of time here, but a very quick word on why the character of this country and its foundation in Christianity, Judeo-Christian traditions, is so central to who we are and have been, and the exceptional nation of quality of this country.
Look, Christianity is Judeo-Christian values put man's relationship with God as the most important thing. You're not, you know, you have a connection to God. You have individual responsibility, individual agency. That only works in the context of a free society. So if you are a real Christian, must strive for a free society, because that is the expression of God's law, the expression of the Bible. So freedom is integral. We only have a free society because of Christianity. Mm. And if we lose that Christianity, we lose the free society. Amen. And our enemies, who are ultimately satanic, you know, communism is scientific Satanism, really.
Oh, amen.
They understood the value of the church in America better than we did, mm-hmm. and have been undermining it like crazy
systematically
for nearly 100 years now, yeah. and now it's coming to its climax.
Trevor, I'd hoped we'd have time in this hour to talk a bit more about what we need to do about these enemies within, but we're going to have you back soon if we can to visit about that. I appreciate you so much, my friend, and we will stop for the moment, but return to you soon. I want to thank all of the rest of you for listening and watching this edition of Securing America. It is our hope that you feel better equipped to help us do just that. You can find more about it at securingamerica.tv. And I hope, as I'm fond of saying, and indeed as we're enjoined by the Bible to do, that we all will go forth and multiply.